Well, friends, our second scripture for this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Continue to listen for God's word for you and for me. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be at my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Friends, this along with Psalm 148 is the word of God for you who are the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of Christmas joy, we remember today that you come to us in the Word made flesh to live among us. We ask that you would come once again and speak to us in new ways. Silence in us any voice but your own, so that we may hear your Word and follow. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day. Amen. Well, friends, after waiting and preparing and anticipating, we have journeyed together to Bethlehem, and we have welcomed the Christ child once again. The quiet stillness of Advent has been replaced by the cries of an infant Jesus, wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Joseph has dabbed Mary's warm cheeks with water and swept the hair away from her sweaty forehead with a whisper of thanks. The exhausted Mary has gazed upon her tiny new son, treasuring the glory of it all and pondering it in her heart. The angels have returned to heaven and the shepherds have gone home to their fields, ready to tell their tale to anyone who might listen. And once again, this old story has surprised and delighted us anew, reminding us that in the most unexpected of ways, God breaks into our messy world and ushers in new depths of love and peace. The author of Luke's gospel moves us along rather quickly in his attempt to create what he calls an orderly account of the story of Christ. Right after the birth story, which we read together on Christmas Eve, he recalls Jesus' circumcision and presentation at the temple when he was 8 days old. And it's there that a man named Simeon and the prophet Anna meet the infant Jesus, and they recognize him instantly for who he is. Peering into his tiny face, they see that he is indeed the Messiah, the one for whom they have waited. Mary and Joseph return with their miracle baby to Nazareth, and Luke tells us that Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And now Luke does a bit of a fast forward in his account. Our passage for today, only in chapter 2, jumps ahead to the time when Jesus is 12 years old. And this story does not appear anywhere else in our New Testament scripture. It's not in any of our other gospel accounts. And we know virtually nothing about Jesus' life between his birth and the beginning of his ministry. But here, Luke provides us a rare glimpse into the life of Jesus as an adolescent. So our story begins as Jesus and his parents have traveled to Jerusalem for Passover. And after all the festivities, Mary and Joseph begin their journey back home. But Jesus slips away, opting to stay behind in Jerusalem. Now, having successfully evaded one's parents and achieved temporary independence, I would imagine that the average 12-year-old would have no shortage of ideas for how to make the most of their freedom. I'm sure there were other people and places vying for Jesus' attention. Children playing games who would have welcomed another playmate. Marketplaces full of people to meet or food to sample. And in this big city of Jerusalem, there were plenty of places to explore that would have caught the attention of a 12-year-old kid from Nazareth. But rather than pursuing any of these options, Jesus chooses to spend his time in the temple. And not only that, but while he's there, he surrounds himself with teachers and religious scholars. He spends time listening intently to them and asking questions. And these teachers are so impressed by his ability to converse that they begin to ask him questions, and they're amazed at his understanding. Finally, realizing that he's not among their fellow travelers, Mary and Joseph return to Jerusalem to retrieve their son. It's been 3 days when they finally find him at the temple, and he's still engrossed in conversation with the teachers. And like any mother would, Mary first lays into Jesus. "Why have you treated us like this?" she demands. "Your father and I have been worried sick." And with a sense of calm that was likely infuriating to his worn-out parents, the composed young Jesus responds with disbelief. "Why were you searching for me at all? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" This is the very first time in Luke's narrative that we hear Jesus speak. And in the first words that he utters, he calls himself God's son. And this scene is such an interesting collision of Jesus' divinity and his humanity. Because on the one hand, he's a precocious and curious kid. He's sneaking away to ask questions of the adults and being scolded by his worried mother. But on the other hand, he is the very Son of God, fully human, yet fully divine. Accepting the limitations of his boyhood, Jesus returns to Nazareth with his parents, and he's obedient to them. And then our story ends in verse 52, which says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. And that's it. Luke won't tell us anything else about Jesus' life until the following chapter when he begins his ministry, and he's about 30. So verse 52 may seem like a sort of shallow way to sum up nearly 18 years of Jesus' life. He increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The end. But in this short sentence, the gospel writer makes a rather important statement, one with both Christological and anthropological significance. That Jesus increases in wisdom is a Christological claim, meaning that it has something to tell us about who Jesus is. Although he is a child prodigy, he can still grow in wisdom as he matures because he is really and truly human. He didn't come to earth completely finished with no room to grow. Like all of us, Jesus grew and developed, and he learned things that he once did not know. Like all of us, Jesus was a baby. A baby who spoke garbled first words and took wobbly first steps. He was a toddler and a child and an adolescent. He became a teenager and a young man, experiencing the full spectrum of human development. From the exciting parts of growing up to the awkward and painful ones, like us, Jesus experienced it all. And because Jesus is like us in his humanity, there is also an anthropological claim at play here, meaning that this text tells us something about who we are and what we are to do. Well, just a couple of nights ago on our Christmas Eve service and lessons and carols, the first carol that we sang together was Once in Royal David City. And in verse 3 of that song, we united our voices with the words, "For he is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew." And that song is so familiar and so traditional that perhaps we can lose sight of just how much wisdom is contained in its verses. This verse in particular sounds simple, but it is deeply consequential. Patterning ourselves after Jesus, we too are called to increase in wisdom. We're never done with growing. We'll never achieve perfect wisdom in our lifetimes. But we trust that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can increase in wisdom, grow in love, mature in our faith, and our fancy word for that in the church is sanctification. And to learn how we might do so, we turn once more to this profound adolescent who provides us our pattern. In multiple ways, in this passage, Jesus models for us a life of learning and growing in faith. First, he places himself in the path of wisdom when he goes to the temple to sit among the teachers. He invests his time in his faith community. He prioritizes learning. He follows his curiosity and he asks questions. He speaks his mind. He tells the other teachers how he understands matters of faith. He engages in a dialogue. And we don't all need to ditch our parents and spend days talking with religious scholars. But these are all ways that we too can grow in wisdom and nurture our faith in our everyday lives. Entering the new year is always a time that lends itself to reflection and the setting of intentions. So as we prepare for the start of 2022, we have the opportunity to reflect and to think about how we might prioritize our spiritual lives in the next year. So I would encourage you to ask yourself, how can I place myself in the path of wisdom this year? What rhythms or practices might ground you? What people do you need to engage in dialogue with? How can you prioritize learning or invest time in our family of faith? Where can you lean into your curiosity and ask hard questions? Our text says that Jesus grew not only in wisdom, but in divine and human favor. And the Greek word that's translated as favor can also be translated as grace. Following the example of Jesus, not only are we to increase in wisdom, but we are also called throughout our lives to grow in grace. Grace is a cornerstone of our Reformed faith, essential to the way that we understand God. Our denomination even has a children's curriculum that's entitled Growing in Grace and Gratitude. Simple enough for even the tiniest of children to understand, that is what our journey of faith is about. No matter our age, we seek to grow in God's grace and to express our gratitude, looking to the example of Jesus to pattern our steps. This short story about Jesus in the temple may be easy to overlook in the arc of his life, but it reminds us that wisdom comes to us through unexpected people and unexpected places. I love that Jesus is 12 in this text because being 12 can be such a vulnerable experience. Y'all remember those years. You're not a child and you're gaining independence, but you're not quite a teenager. You can experience frustration with adults who seem not to take you seriously. Sometimes you wonder if they're really listening to you. And yet, for all of its challenges, there is a wisdom all its own that comes from this age and stage of life. One of my great joys of working at White Memorial comes from spending time with our middle school youth. And I thought about them often as I spent time with this text for today, feeling especially grateful for all that they've taught me. I've been in awe of the wisdom that they have brought to my life, their willingness to ask tough questions, their ability to connect with people, their silliness and their joy, their authenticity, their thoughtful prayers and reflections, not to mention their willingness to stop everything and start a dance party at a moment's notice. So friends, as you consider what the adolescent Jesus in our text for today has to teach you, I hope that you will consider what wisdom you might glean from the young people in your life. Like Simeon and Anna, I hope that you will see them for who they are and delight in their uniqueness. And like the teachers in the temple, I hope that you'll really listen to what they have to say and value their contributions. You might even spend some time wondering what wisdom your adolescent self has for you. What could your 12-year-old self teach you about life and faith? What have you forgotten that she or he could remind you? Friends, whatever your age, whether you are 12 years old or you are squinting to see 12 in the rear view, may you continually place yourself in the path of wisdom, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you might grow in God's grace and respond with gratitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, friends, as you go out from this place, may you pattern your life after that of Jesus, seeking wisdom and growing in grace. And as you do, may you always rely on the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, which go with you wherever you go. Go in peace. Amen.